Hi, this is Colin McCallan. Thank you for listening. Please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes. Thank you.
Welcome to Is This Legal? Here are your hosts, attorneys Colin McCallan and Russell Hebbets.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this unscheduled episode of Is This Legal? The Is This Legal podcast. We're recording this, I guess it's a surprise episode.
Surprise!
Wow, Russ just jumped out and scared the bejesus of me. Dude, don't do that again, man.
I didn't really.
All right, anyway, we're doing this because we had this awful event happen at our nation's capital last week, the insurrection at the Capitol. We're recording this about 8 days after that fact, and we thought it would be appropriate to do a podcast that examines some of the legal issues that surround this whole thing. We want to talk about the criminal investigation. We're going to talk about some of the individuals who have been charged and what they're looking at. We're going to talk about the President of the United States, whether or not he has any exposure here. And, you know, obviously this was a very terrible event. We're still kind of reeling from it. You know, in our attempt to kind of explain this, we're going to here and there inject a little humor and have a little fun, but, please, by no means are we trying to, suggest that what happened last week was trivial. It was a really, really sad thing to watch. But you know, we're going to do the best we can to kind of unpack this from a legal angle, right, Russ?
That's right. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to talk about just some of the, I mean, no matter how kind of serious this was as an assault on an American institution, there really are just some complete knuckleheads who bear being made fun of.
Exactly. And so with that said, let's get to it. Let's first start with this, Russ. Let's talk jurisdiction, right? Because when we're talking about Washington, D.C., we are talking about a very unique criminal jurisdiction, aren't we?
Right. We're talking about a very unique territory. Washington, D.C. is not a state, right? Yep. So you don't have state laws. You don't have a governor. You don't have any of that. So this is federal property. And what you have in this case is all of these people who are being investigated are going to ultimately be charged with federal crimes.
That's right.
So the people who investigate this are the United States Attorney for the District of Columbia, okay, which is Washington, D.C. And in this case, it's going to be in conjunction with the Attorney General's office. So right now, the Attorney General is Jeffrey Rosen.
That's right.
Because Bill Barr resigned.
That's right.
Right? So until the end of Trump's term, it's Jeffrey Rosen. Then once Merrick Garland gets confirmed, that's who Biden has nominated or is going to nominate. It'll be fall to him. So that's concurrent jurisdiction between the U.S. attorney and the AG's office. Those are going to be the prosecutors
exactly.
In this case.
Now, you've heard those terms that we've used in this podcast before. Felonies, misdemeanors, things like that. We are not talking about those terms here because all of those terms relate to state level offenses. Okay. If you committed a felony in the state of Colorado, you might be facing felony charges as opposed to misdemeanor charges. When we're talking about federal jurisdiction, Russ, we are talking about federal crimes. These are the big boys.
We're talking about the federales again.
Federales. That's right. And I mean, let me ask you this, Russ. If you had your pick of being charged with a state level felony or a federal crime, what would you pick?
I would 10 times out of 10, maybe even 11 times out of 10, I would choose state level charges.
Yeah.
Federal cases tend to first have higher sentencing considerations, higher sentences, like you're going to tend to go to prison, federal prison, for longer.
Right.
You're going to serve more of your time. If you've listened to some of our earlier podcasts, you know that in state charges, you're often serving half the time. Federal, at least 85% of the sentence is going to be served.
Yep.
You also have much more thorough investigations in federal investigations. Because who investigates federal crimes?
Well, the typical law enforcement branch is the FBI or some other federal law enforcement branch like the ATF, Secret Service, things like that. Though all of those are federal law enforcement agencies, but the number one spearhead is FBI.
And that's who's going to be leading all of these investigations into all of these rioters.
I saw that every field office, every FBI field office in the country is engaged in this investigation.
Well, you have people coming from all over the country
right.
for this and then leaving back to all over the country. So that's right. I think there's 56 field offices. And I mean, there are hundreds of FBI agents, and they're also working with the ATF because there were explosives found. We'll talk about that. Firearms involved. U.S. Marshals are getting in on this. And then you have the D.C. police and the Capitol Police, obviously.
It's quite a show of force, and that's not surprising in the least, because I think the message that federal law enforcement wants to send is, do not do this again, or we will come after you and find you and do whatever we can to make life a living hell for you.
Exactly, and especially in advance of the January 20th inauguration.
Right.
You know, right now, we're recording this on the 14th. We're 6 days out from that, and every single state capital is on high alert on that day because there is a credible threat of things like this happening again. So the main thing that the FBI is investigating are, you know, I broke it out into kind of two different veins of investigation. One is the schmuck who got carried away with a protest and kind of lost his or her head and did some very stupid things.
Got caught up in the moment without a clear plan.
Right.
You're kind of talking about that guy.
And you know, though, that guy, I think, is the majority of this,
right.
although investigations are still ongoing. But you look at the people who are getting caught up, and we're going to go into some specific examples, but you're talking about like retired military, firemen, police officers. You're talking about like a broad swath of everyday people in America who were incurred into the Capitol.
Right.
Right. The other investigation that the FBI is going into was part of this, a subset of this, was that a coordinated plan by extremists.
Right. I mean, they're investigating whether or not this was a planned attack. They're investigating whether or not there were perhaps lawmakers who were involved in helping facilitate this attack. I mean, you know, we're at this point, there's little evidence to support this, but because it's so new. But, you know, there's allegations that there were congressmen and women who were providing long guided tours of the Capitol to people who stormed the Capitol the next day. They were, you know, these people were giving tours of the building the day before.
Right. And 30 lawmakers have actually asked law enforcement to investigate the extremely high number of visitors to the Capitol on January 5th, because some of those could have been organized where they're trying to like lay out a map and figure out a plan of where they're going and what they're going to do at the time. And incidentally, not only are lawmakers being investigated, and they're being investigated by the Government Accountability Office, which is a nonpartisan watchdog group. They're looking at whether any of these congresspeople had a role. But also, Capitol Police themselves are under investigation.
Some have been suspended.
Yep, two have been suspended, and there's something like 17 still under investigation.
In the conduct that they're being, I guess, investigated for is whether or not they were sympathetic to these insurrectionists and whether or not they did anything to make it easier for them to gain access to Capitol grounds.
Right, and there's some very strong evidence that that was the case, which is why two have already been terminated.
Right.
You know, when you're taking selfies with a mob of people who are incurring into the Capitol, it's probably does not bode well for your future in law enforcement.
That is correct. So, you know, Russ, I agree with that assessment. I do think there are a lot of people that were maybe just there without a plan in support of the president, who then got swept in the moment with thousands of other people who went to the Capitol and just kind of found themselves in this situation. And then, of course, there's the other camp of people who absolutely had intent to overthrow the government and to storm the Capitol, possibly hurt or kill lawmakers. I mean, well, unfortunately, that never happened. But I mean,
well, right. But we know that, you know, five people are dead.
This was not a peaceful mob, is right. what we know about this. Right. And we do know that five people were dead.
And if you're looking online, you can see images and videos of, you know, protesters swinging hockey sticks at police,
throwing fire extinguishers at police. I saw that today. A guy got charged with that.
Yeah. I mean, all sorts of things. But what you said, you know, people getting caught up in the mob, that's relevant to these charges because for anyone who's listened to our Mens Rea podcast, which was called...
But I Didn't Mean to Kill Anyone?
Yes. Yeah. You have to have a mental element. You have to have intent or some sort of mental element. So that's going to be a key point of whether these people who are charged, whether they're going to get charged or whether the charges are going to stick. So let's go ahead and talk about some of these charges, Colin.
Okay.
All right. So some of the minor charges where I think as of a few days ago, there were already 14 people, I think, who had been charged with a range of things, but most of them were minor. The most common charges were disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds, knowingly entering and remaining on a restricted space, violent entry on Capitol grounds, and disruption of government businesses.
Right,
or business.
So, now, all of those are federal crimes. They're still very, very serious. But for the most part, those offenses are not punishable by more than 1 year. Is that correct?
That's correct. Most of those are 1 year. Now, that changes if you had a gun.
Okay.
Because some people were packing heat.
Right.
Right?
And so if you had a deadly weapon, that increases the range of penalty, right?
To 10 years.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a big jump.
So let me get this straight. If you had gone into the Capitol, maybe you didn't break anything. Maybe you didn't take anything, but you were in there and you had a weapon.
Yes.
And that weapon was found on you.
Yes.
You're facing 10 years.
You're facing 10 years.
Okay.
Yes.
So we have seen a multitude of images of people who have kind of become the face of this insurrection. And I want to talk about a few of them just to give you guys an update on some of the charges that we're looking at here. we'll start with the guy that I call Helmet Guy, Green Helmet Guy. He was pictured on the floor of the chambers. His name is Larry Brock. This is the guy who's in like full tactical gear. He's photographed seeing with zip ties. He's a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. So he is charged with disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds and violent entry on Capitol grounds. He's in the lower tier of the crimes. He did not have a deadly weapon on him.
Right.
Based on the stuff that
I've seen. And he, like so many others, like he was very easy to identify because he's wearing all of his patches. You know, he's wearing exactly.
Let's talk about why else he's easy to identify, Russ.
Well, it turns out he didn't have a mask.
None of these people did, which is the irony here. Because, you know, look, regardless of what your stance on masks is, every single person who was in that Capitol, maybe a couple people, were unmasked. Which makes them really, really, really easy to identify, right, Russ?
So, no matter what your position is on masks, you know, if there's a global pandemic where a large percentage of the population is wearing masks and you won't get looked at twice wearing a mask, if you're going to go commit some crimes, probably
an insurrection.
Throw on that mask, maybe.
Do you think there might be, I don't know, some surveillance cameras in the Capitol too, Russ?
I feel
it
like,
seems like that might be a guarded building.
I feel
building.
Like there may have been some media there too who maybe had some cameras.
So I mean, that is kind of the irony that I just feel like I have to mention. Hashtag wear a mask. So let's talk about some other. Let's Buffalo Horns guy.
I call him Viking guy.
Okay. I mean, you all know who we're talking
Everyone
about.
Everyone here knows.
That guy is also a lower level offender here. He was charged with disorderly conduct and you know, violent entry to Capitol grounds. He's not accused of taking anything or hurting anyone. There's Cleet Keller. He's our United States gold medalist swimmer from the 2004 Athens Olympics. He won gold with Michael Phelps. Yep, he is now charged with violent entry on Capitol grounds. He's one of the people who's been caught up with this. Let's talk about Zip Tie Guy. Remember him?
Zip Tie. There's that great iconic photo of Zip Tie Guy all dressed all in black. He was masked.
Yeah,
right?
He did have a mask.
He was, I mean, he looked like he was in SWAT tactical gear, except coming out of one of his sleeves is probably 20 zip ties.
Yeah, this is interesting too. His name is Eric Munchel. Eric's mom was with him at the insurrection, and she felt compelled to speak to the media. This is what she says about how her son came in possession of those zip ties that we've seen. Quote, "We saw the zip cuffs on top of an already open cabinet in the hallway inside the Capitol building. We picked them up to prevent them from falling into the hands of bad actors."
Ah, the zip cuffs, which, by the way, the zip ties can be used. The reason why we're making a big deal of this, for anyone who doesn't know, is you can tie people up and take hostages with zip ties.
They're like, used to kidnap somebody.
Yeah, these are like handcuffs. So going back to it, the zip cuffs were already there.
Defense. Oh, man. Heard it 1,000 times, right, Russ? All right, and then another guy that we're going to talk about is Podium Guy.
Good old Podium Guy.
Yeah, or he's, Lectern Guy, Podium Guy.
He just seems so happy.
Yeah, I mean, very photogenic. You've seen that picture, right? He's the guy who literally is carrying Nancy Pelosi's lectern while waving to a camera, unmasked. You can see his smiling face.
No, he is posing.
Right. He's posing for the camera for sure. He is also charged. He's also charged with disorderly conduct, with violent entry on Capitol grounds. He's also charged of theft of government property. And we wanted to bring him up because he has hired a lawyer, and his lawyers gave a press conference. And we're going to play a little bit of it. This is what not to say if you are a criminal defense lawyer representing your client.
Any budding criminal defense attorneys out there, pay attention. This is what not to say. This is about a 30-second clip.
You just have to drill down on what actually happened. You have a photograph of our client, you know, in a building, unauthorized to be there with, what appears to be a podium or a lectern. I'm not exactly sure which one it is called, but that's what we have.
Obviously, that presents problems for you as a defense attorney in that you have your client in the building at the time of the break-in.
I don't know how to else explain that, but yeah, that would be a problem. I'm not a magician in either.
So he is not a magician. Now, I mean, he is extremely honest with what he said. Like, I agree with everything he just said. But Colin, maybe he shouldn't have put it that bluntly.
Maybe you don't want to confess to the crime that your client is charged with while your client is standing there next to you, innocent until proven guilty. Let me repeat a couple of phrases for you budding criminal defense attorneys. Most of you already know this if you've been on the planet for really longer than like 10 years. My client is looking forward to his day in court. We will contest these ridiculous charges. They are without merit, and we are looking for justice to pave the way for my client's freedom.
The truth
write
will
that
come
down,
out.
Everybody. Like, honestly, this press conference writes itself. Anyway, if you're a defense lawyer, make sure you don't confess for your client.
But that's just too beautiful to pass up.
Yeah.
But, you know, a point worth taking, and all of these minor charges, those are the iconic ones that everyone's seeing, mm-hmm. you know, all the pictures that have been splashed across the front page. But, you know, these arrests for the minor offenses, that serves a very real purpose for law enforcement, because these guys have been arrested, but a lot of others have been arrested on minor charges. And the what law enforcement is doing here is they don't necessarily think that's all they'll be charged with, but they know they can charge them with this. And what they're doing is getting people off of the street in advance of inauguration.
That's right.
Because if someone is already, you know, gone into the Senate with a violent mob, you know, there's a high chance that they're going to cause some problems in the future. And right now, it is a tool of law enforcement to get those people arrested and charged and in custody so that they can't cause more problems.
Well, and have you noticed, I don't necessarily think this isn't by design. I mean, I think that in a way media is cooperating with law enforcement in spraying these pictures of these people everywhere so that they can be recognized by members of the public too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, remember, this is a nationwide investigation Last I heard, there were over 100,000 tips that were submitted to law enforcement.
Right. They're getting like 12,000 a day.
Right. The public is largely helping out with this investigation and identifying people and bringing these people to light. And, if people are writing articles about you and you're charged with a crime, you're probably going to put aside your insurrectionist activity, at least for the time being.
Right.
That's the hope anyway.
Yeah, that is the hope. And that's really a key point. Like FBI has its own page where you could just download tips.
Right.
And these investigations are ongoing. Like there are stuff that's going to take some time to build these cases. So just because if you're listening, you happen to listen and you were in DC and at the Capitol and inside the Capitol, just because you're now back at home in Idaho in your cozy little town, doesn't mean you're not going to get a knock on the door from the FBI.
That's right. Exactly. In fact, honestly, the FBI is saying turn yourself in.
That's a smart thing to do.
I think I can adopt that legal advice. If you were in the Capitol and you haven't been contacted yet, I think, and you didn't do anything and you didn't break anything, it might be a wise move to actually turn yourself in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you can get identified.
Federal cooperation really matters. I mean, they look at that very kindly.
Very favorably. Yeah.
So now, Russ, we've been kind of having a little bit of fun with some of the minor charges and the minor players with this, but this was pretty serious. This was pretty grave. There were some actors here who planned on a lot more mayhem to occur than what did, right?
Yeah, or at least,
we're ready for it.
Yeah, we're ready for it, exactly. So, you have a guy named Cleveland Meredith Jr. He is charged with making interstate threats on the life of Nancy Pelosi. He essentially texted that he wanted to put a bullet in her noggin on live TV. He also threatened to shoot the mayor of DC in the head. He then drove across the country with an assault rifle and 2,500 rounds of ammunition, including something like 360 armor-piercing rounds.
The fact that he had all that stuff is going to be so detrimental to his defense because, it's one thing for a person to talk about a politician they're watching on TV and say, I could just kill that person.
Right.
I can't stand that person.
Right.
So at what point does vitriol become something that's criminally actionable against? And I think when you, like you just said, when you drive to the Capitol with an assault rifle and that amount of ammunition with armor-piercing rounds, you're making your intent clear.
Right.
On you.
Yeah. It goes to intent. Exactly. Like if I'm a U.S. attorney or an assistant U.S. attorney, that's how I make my intent case. You know how we know he intended to act out on that? And by the way, for making a threat, you can't threaten to shoot her in the head, even if you don't have a gun. That's the first thing.
Right.
But we know his intent because he took steps to follow through on it.
Right.
And
law enforcement will treat this guy as if he had every intention on carrying out his threat.
No, he is in a world of trouble.
Another guy in a world of trouble, Russ, Lonnie Kaufman. This guy was in a truck with 11 Molotov cocktails, right?
Yep. He came prepared.
Yep.
He's not a guy who was at a rally and watching the president and then decided he's going to go walk to the Capitol. He had prepared 11 Molotov cocktails ahead of time, and he had a gun on him.
That's right.
So he is, again, looking at serious, serious federal charges.
Then there's Richard Barnett. He's the fellow who made himself right at home in Nancy Pelosi's office. I think that's probably the most iconic photograph of him, with his feet up on her desk, stealing a piece of mail from her desk, which he, by the way, completely confessed to right after it happened.
Well, I thought he said he didn't take anything and that instead he left a quarter desk.
He left a quarter and then he took one of her pieces of mail. And he left the quarter thinking that if he paid 25 cents for it, that would make this not a federal crime.
I didn't connect the dots on that.
The old pay a quarter to shoplift defense. We've seen it a million times.
You get one shot for a quarter, for every quarter, right? Yeah, so he's obviously not in as much trouble, but, theft of public property.
I think he actually might be looking at prison. I wouldn't be surprised about that anyway. We'll see.
Another guy. There were several people like we said, you saw videos of lots of people assaulting the police. They were assaulting them with iron bars, with hockey sticks, with batons.
Right.
And one guy who's already been charged, a guy named Mark Leffenwell, has already been charged with assault on a federal officer. I believe he struck an officer in the face mask and chest, but didn't have a weapon. But once we're talking about making contact with a federal officer in an assault, you're looking at 8 to 20 years, depending on how that went down. Like, you have a hockey stick or a baton and you're beating someone, that's 20 years in federal prison, of which you're serving at least 85%. So these are extremely serious charges. And there are a lot of people who have not been identified yet where the FBI is going to be following up on those. And then the most serious one is obviously the Capitol police officer who died from injuries incurred during this insurrection. And that obviously is capital murder, or not capital, but it's first degree murder. There's also a couple pipe bombs, you know, which again, domestic terrorism is right. What you're looking at. So super serious charges out there, and a lot is going to be coming down over the next weeks and months.
It would not surprise me, by the way, we didn't really discuss this, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see a legislative push over the next couple of years to make offenses like this even more serious.
That would not surprise me at all. That's like what happened with insanity. If right. You listen to our insanity podcast, right. You know, the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan.
People are going to adapt. And if people are informed that, you know, that you could go away for not just years, but decades for this type of behavior, that also might curb it. But
so let's talk about two of the biggest ones that we haven't talked about yet that everyone's Googling, like the Googling of insurrection and sedition, like increased like 13,000% after this, right? And for good reason. Like, I'm going to read to you our seditious conspiracy federal statute or the relevant points of it. So it's a conspiracy, so it takes two or more persons, but if two or more people by force try to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law in the United States, that is a violation of the seditious conspiracy statute and is punishable by up to 20 years in federal prison. So, I mean, that language right there, that's the section that's relevant, but you're talking about exactly what they went there to do. The mob went there to disrupt the certification of Joe Biden as the next president. That is the execution of law in the United States. And as long as they used force, as long as you used force, and there's more than one person involved, that is a violation of our sedition statute.
So then why aren't these guys all charged with sedition, Russ? I mean, it sure sounds like, based on their conduct, based on what happened, that can be established. What do you think?
First of all, by force is a problem for most of them, okay. Right? Okay, so there were thousands of people involved in this.
But maybe just a few people who actually breached entry forcefully.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You need force, right? So, for example, the people who, the Capitol Police officer who let people in, there's no force there,
right?
So you're in there. You may be trying to disrupt the execution of a law of the United States, but there's no force. So it doesn't happen. It has to be two or more people. And so it's got to be a conspiracy. So there could be an argument that, you know, they didn't conspire. It just happened, right? And that's where we go back to, were there extremist groups who were planning this, who were going there the day before to scope it out? Then we have conspiracy, right? So the other one is rebellion or insurrection. And that is 18 U.S. Code Section 2383. Whoever incites, sets foot on, assists, or engages in any rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the United States, essentially commits rebellion or insurrection, that is punishable by 10 years. And that is interestingly, like, so whoever incites the rebellion against the authority of the United States, that is what a lot of people are talking about. They're using this word incite with President Trump, right? So is President Trump going to be charged with a violation of this federal statute?
I mean, probably not. We'll get into that in a minute. But before I answer the question, let's talk about where we are right now on January 14th. As of yesterday evening, Donald Trump was just impeached for the second time. Against the sole count of inciting an insurrection. That right. was the charge, that was the high crime or misdemeanor
right.
that he was accused of committing by the House of Representatives. The House has voted to impeach him. So what that does constitutionally is that is going to trigger a trial to be had in the Senate. Now, procedurally, we are all kind of waiting in the wings to see how all of this is going to work, because Trump is supposed to leave office in 6 days. Normally, the function of the trial is to determine whether or not the president should be removed by a two-thirds majority of the Senate. Okay, so we're essentially probably going to have an impeachment trial that occurs after the president leaves office.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, so we're going to figure out kind of how that works. When we're talking about high crimes and misdemeanors, though, we're not talking about crimes and misdemeanors in the traditional sense like we talk about in this podcast. That's a term of art that's used in the Constitution for how to impeach a president. So the president is not going to face any criminal liability as a result of the impeachment trial process.
Right.
Okay. What you're asking, just now that we've made that clarification,
thank you.
Is he going to be charged with sedition, with insurrection?
Or rebellion.
And look, we're not prognosticators here. We're not soothsayers. We don't have a crystal ball in front of us. We don't have this is going to unfold.
Speak for yourself, Colin. I'm a seer.
I just wanted to say soothsayer.
I like prognosticating myself.
However, I think we are human beings, and I find it very unlikely that President Trump or even Giuliani or Don Jr., who all made very fiery, inflammatory, possibly right. insightful speeches to Trump supporters right before this thing went down, I don't think they did enough to commit a federal law here.
I agree. I think that federal charge would go nowhere. I think it doesn't get charged.
Right.
And the reason is what you said, like he may have acted and made speeches that an outside observer could say, you're talking to a can of gasoline and you're lighting a match and
right.
throwing it.
Right.
But he never told them to go be violent.
He never told them to breach the Capitol.
Right.
He never told them to break in. He never told right. them to disrupt the proceedings. He never told them to kidnap or harm any members of Congress. You know, if you look at it was clear he was wanting them to take action.
Right. And to go there.
I mean, he said he was going to go there with them.
Right.
He didn't. But he made his intent very clear, but probably not to the level of committing a crime. And let's face it. If you're going to charge Trump with this type of a crime, you better have it locked down, like 100% rock solid, because the court of public opinion is going to be everywhere on this.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely right. And by the way, he still has 6 days to get a pardon one way or another. And
right.
so, and we actually covered, you know, his criminal liability.
Let's do a soft bet on this. Okay, so we don't know the answer to this question. Russ, and we'll have to address it on the next podcast. Do you think that he will pardon himself?
I think that he will.
I do too.
Is my soft bet.
He's not going to make a deal with Biden.
I don't think Biden would make a deal with him at this point.
Right. And
he and Pence seem to be on the outsies.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get any help from Pence on this. I think I'm going to predict on the second to last day he's in office, he is going to issue himself a self-pardon.
And if you guys want, we dove into this for pretty deeply on our Is Trump Going to Jail podcast. So if you want to kind of get a in-depth look at the ins and outs of his pardonability, go back and listen to that podcast. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that it's more likely than not that he pardons himself and let's see where the chips fall.
Yeah, so we will be watching this. This is, I think, what we consider to be kind of a fluid situation. Things might change, and
things will change.
We'll update you if we get more information that we want to pass on to you about everything that's going on right now. But
only if we want to pass it on, though. If we don't want to, you guys are SOL.
You're right. We may decide, you know what, this is too juicy. We are keeping this right here in our pockets just for ourselves.
All we're going to do is have conversations off air.
So there you go. There's our surprise episode of Is This Legal?
Surprise.
Yep. Hopefully, I don't know. Surprise episodes aren't necessarily good because that means we're covering something bad, but I don't know. Maybe we'll have a good surprise episode one of these days.
Maybe we will. Thanks, everyone. And as always, hit us up on Twitter, Is This Legal Pod, on Facebook, Habits McCallan, or HabitsMcCallan.com.
Bye-bye.